face with hard luck. Face with hard luck. Hard shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck. Pimps and cards.
What happened?
I just need to adjust my level.
What happened?
Turn up my mic.
What happened?
What happened?
I'm also the guy that came up with and coined the phrase, I don't think so.
Let's cut the Face with hard luck. Your product face with hard luck. Face with hard luck. Card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck. Pimps and card shots, thieves, murderers with hard luck. Good morning and welcome to the Hard Luck Show. I'm your certified, qualified West Side host, Steve Lucky Luciano. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you tuned into the greatest show on earth. It's the Hard Luck Show, coming at you from Ramos Gallery in Westwood, California. That's right, sitting across from me is my co-host and partner,
is Chumahan Bowen. American Indian, Southern Californian, elegant barbarian, and also known as the sadistic one.
Yeah!
Come on!
With the braids. And on audio, old blue eyes.
That's right, Sean Lewis. Certified big audio.
Big dumb. Hype.
Yeah.
We're getting hype. From the mountains and streams. Came down through the mountains, and there was an extraordinary man. That's Brian, the showrunner extraordinaire.
Yes.
Schwartz.
What's up, fellas?
What's the word?
The word is hard luck.
That's hard two luck. Words, but
I was trying to go like, from the trees and the mountains, far up in the forest came.
From
the snow melted,
from the glaciers,
right,
of the Himalayas, from the eucalyptus leaves,
yes,
of Australia,
right,
from the bowels of the earth,
yes,
comes forward the bubbling brook,
yes,
Schwartz, the showrunner,
yes, dude.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Exactly
man.
What I was
that
talking
was
about.
Fucking amazing.
We have a guest on. We have a special guest on.
We do.
We are recording today at our friend's beautiful gallery. That's Ramos Gallery. And today, sitting in with us, we have Julio, the incredible artist, Julio Ramos. Welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome, Julio. What's up, guys?
Hey, Julio.
What's up?
Thanks, Julio, for being here. And thank you, man.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Welcome anytime, man.
This beautiful place. It's always so nice when we get to come over here and hang out with you at this gallery, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I like hanging out with you guys as well.
Hey, Julio, real quick, give us an update on the art. How's the art going?
Yes.
Are you doing stuff? Have you started, you know, putting like suppositories of paint and shit in on the canvas? Like, have you gone into any new things or what are you doing?
Yeah, I'm experimenting with dyes and pigment, used in lowrider paint as well.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's a different kind of paint.
Yeah, he's got some great new stuff coming, man.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, it's pretty much experimental what I'm doing. Yeah.
Sean's falling apart right now. Yeah. Sean, why are you falling apart?
I can't believe that no one reacted to the suppository thing. Like no one, everyone just kind of blank faced. Like
it went over my head.
Like that, man. That's a great idea.
Dude, I got to actually say something about a suppository because my...
No, that's not.
My good friend was in Children's Hospital for the last 10 days with his daughter who had a very difficult diagnosis. No, listen, she had had major surgery and didn't have a bowel movement for a couple days.
Okay.
And they came in, the nurse said, we got to give you a suppository. And my buddy
to the
yells
dad?
Out, no, to... his daughter, and my buddy yells out, oh, Blakely, it's okay. Your Uncle Brian likes to use him a lot. So, anyways, it was pretty funny. And then she was okay and used it and went to the bathroom and had no issues.
Thank you. Yeah. So this Whoa. Show is brought to you by... Don't get mad at me, Sean.
Hey,
listen, after the implosion show, I'm trying to, like, you know, be cool because... People have been saying, like, maybe I did pester you too hard, so I'm letting it go.
All right, appreciate it.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say anything about that. Steve just ran out, although he was supposed to be here to do the thing. Let me play what this show's concept going on right now, because actually talking to you, Schwartz, you have a connection. I'm not going to say anything. Okay. I'm going to play a track, and I want you guys to tell me who the... I want maybe Ramos to tell me, because probably Schwartz and Old Blue Eyes might know. Here it comes.
Mike on the tree.
Right.
My boss is Mike B42.
Right.
My boss is Mike on D1.
Right.
My boss is Mike on D1.
Any clues
of what?
Who this is?
Sounds like my pops is doing Broadway, but I forget the
Sir Mix a lot, but no.
No. I have no clue.
Okay, hold on. Who's that?
Well, that was NWA, right? I don't know. I can't tell.
Okay.
It's been a while.
This? This? Okay.
No, it's kind of like...
This is an early cut from an artist we will all recognize, but listen to how much. What band does this sound like to you, Schwartz?
Man, I don't know.
Beastie Boys, Run DMC.
I mean, yeah. Right. Steve, listen to this. Who does this sound like to you?
Oh, this is way before Mix Master Mike.
Right?
Yeah, on the mic. My posse. My posse.
Come on, now.
My posse.
Okay. All right, hold on.
Tell me.
Hold on.
Tell me.
Hold on a second. I'll tell you. Females on my trip, and it ain't funny. What's crazy is how much these dudes sound like the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, this is one of Ice Cube's earliest groups that he was with, known as CIA.
Right.
Right? Before NWA, there was CIA, and even before CIA, Cube had a group called the Stereo Crew. Right.
That, yeah.
So what's interesting, though, is that here you have probably, at least Cube is, that I know for a fact, is a brother.
Right.
Who is trying and emulating the sound of basically white rappers. And that's no knock, because the Beastie Boys are a real fucking...
Right.
Okay.
Sure.
But that is... Go ahead.
He was, and I think too, to say to his... I feel like he was adding like a West Coast almost rock... on that type of vibe too, because kind of what he was doing, it was like maybe like Public Enemy ended up playing around with that a little bit, but it was like Beastie Boys. There wasn't a lot of that hard rock sound going on with it.
Right.
And I think that's where he was stepping in. He was trying something like that.
It's interesting because Cube and the other guys in the group are sounding vocally like the Beastie Boys. They're passing off the rhymes to each other in the same manner that the Beastie Boys did. I think Run DMC also was a group. I don't know.
Yeah, the Beastie Boys were copying, though. People like Run DMC.
Copying. Beastie Boys were kind of emulating what Run DMC was doing.
Just with their white voices.
But like, 100%. All. A little bit higher energy.
Yeah, well,
sure,
yeah.
Goofball and goofy ball energy, yeah, too.
But which Cube also brought that high energy.
Yeah,
rap,
jumping around.
Like, he was really...
So
yeah,
was... and you know what? And it's funny because so did Ice-T.
Yeah.
Ice-T was
on that shit too, dude, with the rock and roll and
that Body Count album,
very early.
Right? Very West Coast sounding.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, big
but
time.
They weren't doing that.
So the interesting thing, and so Sean wanted to do an Ice Cube. That was what emanated from him. Sean,
right.
why did you want to do an Ice Cube show?
Because you know, Ice Cube was like my first love, as like a. I loved Run DMC. I loved rap in a sense from like, you know, what Kumo D was doing, the Fat Boys, you know, all that shit that I grew up
third
with.
Third base on it.
Well, I don't know if I was in third base.
Gas face.
I mean, I respect what they were doing, but you know, it wasn't my thing. But Ice Cube was like, fuck, man, he was so central to my like rap.
Really?
Yeah,
but why?
I mean, America's Most Wanted is probably one of my favorite albums of all time, front to back. I can listen to that whole album, and then the other day,
Sean, so, can I ask you a question?
Yeah,
because Ice Cube is known to be super political, super talking about black, you know, pro-black issues.
Yeah.
Did you ever, being like a super fan of Ice Cube, did you ever have any conflicting, like, because sometimes I would listen to artists that would do that, and it would be not off-putting, but it would, I would take notice of it. Did you ever?
Well, so I, It's funny you say that because, like, I think throughout his career, he's, like, digressed.
Oh, 100%.
Right? Like, he was, in the beginning of his career, he was fan-fucking-tastic. And I think at each step, he kind of got a little bit.
Well,
watered
went,
down.
Yeah.
Well.
Or went in a different direction.
Not as angry, right? When you start off, you have a lot of energy.
I mean,
you're
younger. I felt like he was copying what other people were doing and not doing it.
Well, hold on a second. Let's ground this. Let's ground this in some history.
Okay? Well, I want to play you something new, and you tell me if this is the right direction.
Oh, wait. So set this. Do you want to set this up, or is this a guessing game?
I guess I can set this up in the certain sense that the reason I wanted to do a show about Ice Cube,
yeah,
is because I heard Mount Westmore.
What is Mount Westmore?
Mount Westmore is Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, E-40, and Too Short.
Right now, Mr. and Mrs. Earbuds.
Wait a minute. Repeat?
It's a super group.
Right. Right.
It's just started.
Right.
It's Snoop Dogg, Ice Cube, Too Short, and E-40.
Look at Steve's face. He's taking this in.
Doing the calculations.
Right. The super group personalities are landing on his branding expertise. You know, people don't know this, but Steve's got an extra node in his brain that's strictly for branding. From all of the different branding things. Right.
It automatically goes through that.
Right. It's like a dolphin. People send stuff and it bounces off of shit and it comes back in it and you calculate things. What do you make of that super group?
The absolute first thing that I make of the super group is that you've got two artists that are, I feel like, mega, mega stars with two artists that aren't mega, mega stars.
Who are they?
Too Short, yes. Too Short's done a massive amount. Yes, I understand that. But him and E-40 are kind of like secondary. They would perform at secondary places.
See, this
right?
is where you and I differ. Because
like a tech, like a, who's that? Is it Tech Nine? Is that
yeah,
that right?
Yeah. Tech Nine.
He's in a secondary market. He's never going to really fill up Madison Square Garden, but he'll fill up New Jersey Park.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. I feel like those guys are getting pulled up to a different level.
Like he could fill, he
Snoop
could,
and Cube. That's my
could,
opinion.
Right. He could fill up Echoplex. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
But,
let Sean say his piece.
I'm from the Bay Area.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, Too Short
so and, love it.
And E-40 are the
biggest.
But, that is in that city and in that area. I wouldn't say that would be the same in Kentucky. And I think Ice Cube and Snoop Dogg.
Yes, that is.
Absolutely, 40 and Too Short.
Hold
on. The biggest in San Francisco, but that they ain't really scratching what Cube and Snoop are in the world.
Hold on. Okay, so I'm now seeing two different sort of evaluative camps.
Unclench your fist.
No.
Sean.
My dick's inside. Okay. Yeah. Weird dick shit. Here we go. You call
started
me.
It.
Not during rap
this time it was me. This time it was me for sure. But the issue is
I like one of those guys that likes to own up to shit real fast.
Yeah.
Like that's gonna save.
Get it out of the way.
What the fuck is that?
What? That's me.
Listen.
I'll tell you something. That's a good question. Before we get off of Cube again, but the issue is that you know in listening to the Implosion show. Right. And we got a lot of feedback. I definitely got some feedback, right? Mm-hmm. Which we'll save for another episode. But I looked at that and I was like, you know what? As much as there was a part of me that wanted to try to manipulate that situation into somehow I was right.
Right.
Right. And you can kind of even hear that in what I was saying.
Yeah.
But then there was another part of me that was like, dude, you either believe it or you don't. Like about bringing the reality of our lives and our personalities to the audience. Mm. So when I'm trying to own up to shit, it's because I have a piece of my mind that's remembering what you said to me, bro. You said, and then Sean and I pushed back against it, but like sometimes I stick on weird dick shit too long. And then Sean and I were like, whoa, bro, you talk a lot about weird dicks too. And then you were like, what? Me, really? No, and your face was a real shock.
Yeah.
Schwartz was laughing about it. Schwartz was like, did you see Steve's face? It was a legitimate shock. Like, oh, well, then let me know.
Yeah.
Really?
It was great.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly like that.
So now I'm trying to keep all of that together to give some cohesion to the show to let people know that our dialogues are still ongoing. So that's that.
All right.
So going back to the camps.
Please.
Okay. So on one side, I'm seeing you and Schwartz understanding that the market level in terms of bringing an audience to pack a house your guys are saying Snoop and Ice Cube are first tier, and that makes total sense to me. Absolutely sure. Correct. You're right. Kentucky, no way.
Right.
But also, I think the reason why guys like E-40 and Too Short, and you're right to point out the Bay Area bias by Old Blue Eyes,
right.
But is because those guys have, I think, in a weird way, a deeper brand. It's not as broad, but they've been the same, and they've carried the ball.
I cannot argue that.
Absolutely. Right, that's all I'm saying. You're right.
Dude, Too Short has a fucking fan base, bro.
Right. Yeah.
Dedicated. That's just like,
and he hasn't fucked his brand in any way. Like, no, there's been no
never the same. Them. These things are true, but just think about what you're saying.
Go ahead,
and that rings true for Snoop Dogg all over the world.
Yep,
he does, bro.
He might be the biggest one
ever.
Yeah. No, I'm not talking about big. I agree with you. His marketing level is genius. But I might bet that there are some people that might say Cube and Snoop got off brand in a couple of ways.
You could say that, but sure. But I'm trying to say is that there's this dedicated Snoop fan.
Sure.
That is dedicated for life. It's everything Snoop. Like Too Short. They're like white chicks from fucking Milwaukee that love Snoop, and yeah, they're right. on Snoop forever. Even right. as they have kids. So I think he, maybe not Cube, but I think that Snoop has that same appeal. Listen, way bigger.
Snoop can go into multiple different markets. He's got crossover written all over him.
And I can't argue with that. And that's not, I don't think that's where I'm going with it.
Okay.
There's a reason why Cube and Snoop are rolling with E-40 and Too Short.
Of course.
No, but it's not about who they can, it's not about, I don't think they're brought into the mix.
They're dead in the game. They're deep in the game.
They're deep in the game. They got a credibility.
Their credibility's deep.
Yeah, yes, and that's
it. Almost brings more legitimacy to them.
Yeah, and that's my only, and that's only my point. That's my only point. And I think that would be Sean. Now you've heard us dunderheads talk about it. Sean's the audio nerd, so explain more about whatever it is that you think is going on there. And then I want to pick Steve's brain again on who designed that marketing package. Go ahead.
I guess my evaluation is that. I think both Cube and Snoop, from a musical perspective, have, you know, they hit their peak at the very beginning and kind of like wrote it down. And I would say it's less steep of a curve for Ice Cube than it is for, because I think Snoop's best material is this stuff with Dre. And after that, I mean, I couldn't even fucking tell
you. I agree with you.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Musically. Now, you know, him being with Martha Stewart, that's probably the pinnacle of his career.
But that album that he did with Pharrell a lot,
that
was really good too. That was actually like some legit good stuff that was more recent.
Right.
But of course, Doggy Style, I mean, is always going to... When you have your first album be Doggy Style, you're fucked.
Yeah, because it's just
there's
too good.
Nothing else too, that's going to touch it.
That's true unless you're that good that you're not fucked.
That you follow up with it.
There's a lot of people that have a follow-up album that's good or better, so we can't...
But that's like a classic fucking album, dude, that happens once in a... I don't see any. I'm trying to think of another artist that has like a Doggy Style, you know, type of them being sure. such an
They're
iconic
only like,
album.
I only know some rock and
roll then them
bands
doing
that
it
like
again.
That.
And who would that be, Steve?
Like Pink Floyd, people like that.
Rolling
Zeppelin.
Stones.
Right.
Rolling Stones.
And the only reason why I'm saying that.
Outdo themselves. They keep on outdoing themselves.
And the only reason why I'm saying that, Schwartz, is because I agree with you, right?
Like it's Eminem.
He had his follow up, and then I don't know that he's at the same level after that in terms of an album.
I would say he's bigger after his. Well, I don't know.
He's
maybe
bigger,
not.
But that Slim Shady LP was still the best.
Yeah, but I don't think lyrically it was better than. I mean,
okay, so stop.
Yeah.
All right. No, okay, that. Hold on. So see, this is what I was trying to say about the two camps. On the one hand, we're saying on the show bigger, meaning audience and crossover appeal. Mm-hmm. The other part of it is more about what Sean's about, which is the integrity of the lyrics, right? And those are two separate things. And this is why I think, and you can talk about this, Steve.
Yes.
The packaging of Snoop, Cube, E-40, and Too Short. Like, what do you think?
I think that the packaging is smart, because the packaging and the marketing of this thing, what plays almost a bigger part is more like, first off, if this tour, Supergroup, is going to tour and it's supposed to tour the West Coast, or it's like a West Coast prominent thing, they did exactly what they're supposed to do.
Exactly. Right.
You got the top and the bottom, right?
So, 100% right.
Also, you got to remember, they're aiming at an age. When Eeyore 40 was at, and Too Short were at, like when Too Short was at his biggest, so was Cube and so was Snoop. Like, So they're catering to a certain demographic as well.
Yeah.
It's like people in their 40s.
Right.
And early 50s. They all can get down. And if it's a West Coast thing, then you were listening to those four artists at parties, everything up and down the coast.
Right. The four directions of the West Coast.
Right. So
the only thing missing from that is Dre.
Why? Right. And who else would? Yeah, but we're talking about rappers.
I get it.
But what I'm saying is, think about this. When you said the two biggest guys from up there, you're right. Who else would you grab from up there?
I don't.
Who is the cat that was killed?
King Salmon.
Mac Dre.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Those two guys are the biggest guys. So when you're like, oh, let's get these guys from LA, and then let's
Yeah, you're
it's
right.
Those two.
You're
it's
fucking
the only.
Right.
Two
My,
from
the
up
only
there.
Thing I could think of is like. You could probably go Sacramento and go like Brother Lynch Hung or something.
No. I mean, you're right, but he's not in the same.
Yeah, he's not.
No. God, Vallejo, bro.
That's
like,
it.
There's a
really.
Lot of people into E-40. But they, I think E-40, I think you.
But, I mean, in high school, Down and Dirty, the Click, Down and Dirty, which was, E-40's group or whatever. With
dude, let me tell you something about
that. That shit was in my tape deck. That was in my tape deck.
He went in the mode.
It was like, bro, that was my
man. You can't see underneath the table. He started rubbing his hands on
he started fucking like putting his
he
hands
on his. He was like, man, dudes, I love those guys.
That album is fucking incredible.
I got to get out of here, guys. Yeah, I got to leave for a.
Wait a second. Wait a
collaboration.
All right, right. Where are you going?
I'm going to Cookies Melrose, you guys, right now.
Right.
We're doing a drop with Starter.
Okay. I've seen those with Cuneo and all that shit.
Everybody's going
fucking
down.
Up. So listen, if it's okay with you, you're going to come in on some other shows in the Zoom, but also maybe we're going to continue on with Schwartz and his personal connection to Ice Cube.
Yeah. Talk about the beef between Cypress and...
Do you have anything? Do you want to weigh in
I'll let you guys weigh in and do it. But what I will say,
go ahead,
was that situation.
I'm looking at your ass right now.
Yeah,
almost got real.
That situation almost got real.
I'm gonna play the interview.
And
Be Real does a sick ass interview about that situation.
Yeah, but and there was a certain couple people. Just remember. Dub C was never mentioned in that beef. And
that's right.
The reason that Dub C wasn't mentioned. And that's because him and Muggs used to be in a group before any of this together. So that's why those two, he was kept out of it. You know? But it almost got real. And I'll let you guys tell
it. It almost got be real.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So.
I hate to do it. I hate to have to leave.
I will say this. You will be a part, because we're going to do a different Ice Cube show for Gum Road.
Good, good.
That you'll be a part of.
Okay.
Something a lot more in depth than what we're doing here.
It's a Cookies blue tracksuit. It fucking looks clean. It looks live. He's giving the pounds. He's running around.
Bucks, text me when you have time to get on Zoom.
Okay.
Schwartz is your embodiment. He's the fucking vessel for you.
We got it. Show.
You got it?
Yep, got it. Already talked about.
What did you talk about?
I'll,
don't move that thing away from me.
We talked about him texting me ahead of time when he's got 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15
great.
Minutes.
All right,
Zoom.
Great.
Hey, man.
That's not me. Okay. And listen, I'm now, from now on, I'm not even, I might tease you a little bit, but I ain't trying to plug in. I'm leaving it to other people.
You know, we're just doing a show here. Let's, you know.
All right.
Now
let's
move.
Let's go on to the show.
Listen. First of all, what you just heard O Blue Eyes do is from Boogie Nights. O Blue Eyes and I were huge fans of Boogie Nights and had nothing to do with Big Dicks.
That's true.
Okay. But there was
that It's a great film.
Oh, it is. I agree.
There's that part where Little Bill and one of the other camera guys are sitting there. Man. Little Bill has just seen his wife getting butt rammed in a parking lot.
William H. Macy.
Right. One of the greatest actors of all time. And he was sitting there, and the other camera guy is talking to him, and he's like, you know, are we ready to go? And he's got, and little Bill's got no fucking answers for the next shot, yeah. right? And like the big guy's giving him shit, and he's like, right, I mean, okay, we're just fucking filming a movie, right? Like, who gives a fuck? And he says it in this deadpan way, and ever since then, that stuck yeah. with fucking Blue Eyes. He loved that, right?
Yeah, I do love that.
Right. And also, I want to let the audience know that when E-40 was at the height of his powers, in a sense, and old Blue Eyes was on his shit, like, seriously, right? King Salmon followed him, because King Salmon followed whatever Blue Eyes was into musically. King Salmon was on that exact same thing.
It's true.
And anything that King Salmon found on his own was mostly lame. Like, he found this one rap dude named Seth DeGaffla that no one's ever heard of. And he had a big chunky chain, and it was a brother, and he was right by like a tire, like by some fucking rims.
Like
and
a rim.
And yeah. the
like
name,
one Dayton rim.
Yeah. And the name was Living Kinda Lavish. And Steven, and then old
Salmon
Blue,
was all about it.
We would call Salmon Seth DeGaffla and be like, are you living kinda lavish, bro? And all that shit. And fucking King Salmon would go nuts. But during that time, I couldn't understand anything that old Blue Eyes said, because half of it was E-40 fucking gibberish. What are some of the things that E-40 would...
Oh, come on, man. I don't know. I can't remember.
Dude, he'd be like,
but I tell you this.
And I'd be like, what are you talking
sprinkle
about?
Sprinkle me, sprinkle.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And I'd be like, I don't know what he's talking
about. That was before
about.
That. I was before
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
But. I used to roll around. I didn't have a car. I didn't get a car until I was like 18, right? But I used to roll around with this blue case. And it was a tape case, and I had like it had like 20 tapes on one side, and you flip it over, and there were 20 yeah. tapes on the other side. It was like a briefcase,
yeah.
And like I would get in people's car, and I would have my briefcase, and I would
all
be
the
like,
hot shit.
So, bro, they would let me. So that was my way
that was
of riding
your ticket
shotgun,
to ride.
Right? So I would get to ride shotgun, and I would just put tapes in and be like, "Listen to this song,
nice.
Listen to this song."
Would
so
you blow like, dudes' minds?
Oh yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And I then like I would that. Have because I would go to I mean I would spend like all my money on basically music.
Right.
That's basically what I would go to like Tower Records, and this was back when you could buy a tape and then like you could take it back.
Right. You could record
if it was terrible.
You could dub it and then take it.
Well,
back.
I never dubbed anything. Right. It was just like you know I wanted
right.
it pure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I would go into tape stores and just buy tapes, and I had a fucking.
Do you
shit
still
ton
have
of
a catalog of tapes? You still
no,
have
I don't
no?
have any of them left. None. I do have a lot of CDs though.
Yeah,
yeah.
So let's okay. So NWA, by the way, was one of the original super rap groups. That was how it was eventually put together. Was the idea of putting together who were already the biggest fucking names. So now you're saying Mount what? Go say it again.
Mount Westmore.
And then that is a place in Los Angeles, no?
No.
Like,
that's a play on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
So that's from the West.
Mount Rushmore.
Got
the,
it.
The Westmore.
Westmore. Westward yeah. leading. Okay.
Does the front of the album cover have them like, it's got it, right?
I don't think it's out yet.
Yeah. But it's got, it? When it comes out, it's got to be that, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
Maybe.
Yeah. Dude, you want to hear Ice Cube's
yeah.
verse?
I'd love to hear Maybe. It.
Hold on.
Drop yeah. that.
Go ahead.
Do you want me to turn you up or what?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right, here we
good
go.
Good old Schmitty.
Okay, this is
woofer, big titty hooker, cocaine cooker, rooftop looker, looked out and saw TJ Hooker, jumped off the roof like Superfly Snooker. You know me, I'm up in it like a booger. Then I treat the bitch like some dice and I shook her. I heard this youngin' screaming like a
I mean look, bro. That's all I'm gonna play, dude.
Okay, so wait a second. Schwartz? Wait, yeah. Schwartz, I was watching your eyes. You had like, it looked like shit was washing over your brain as you were listening to that. You were heavy-lidded. Please tell us your true reaction.
It's just lame, man.
That might be the worst bar.
It's pretty bad,
Ice Cube's worst bar.
It's pretty bad. I'm embarrassed. I mean, I get it, like, I understand he does that shit because of where he's at in his career. It's just disappointing if we're actually what we're doing on the show is talking about and thinking about his career as a whole, knowing where he came from lyrically and what he brought. It's kind of sad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say actually, you know, not to, you know, it's a terrible fucking lyric. but everybody on this whole track is terrible.
Right.
Everybody. Thank actually, right. Too Short is probably the best on here, and he even his verse is, wow. is not commendable.
But it's like, think about the last shit that he did, like the things that he's done later in his career, like We Be Clubbing. Terrible. Fucking Get Your Boogie yeah. On, like, right? Wasn't that terrible. His too? Right, you know what I'm saying? So, like, he really hasn't been dope since...
He's had
what
some
was
low.
After the Predator album?
I can't remember.
Oh, bro.
Trying to remember
yeah,
his catalog.
Like, I think, but, like, well, he did America's Most, and then he did Kill It Will, right? And then he did... I think that was like...
Predator
the,
album.
Yeah.
And then he did, what was the one where Today Was a Good Day, or was that the Predator album?
I have Lucky. To look up the discography.
Because that right. was that was around that. That was, I think, his last dope shit.
Okay, so, all right, so that's the super group.
Yeah.
All right. And, but let's go back for a minute. All right, let's go back for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I don't think we can talk about Ice Cube without talking about what his first name was, his first rap handle.
What was his first rap handle?
Purple Ice.
Purple Ice?
Purple Ice.
That was when they have him with that picture where he looks like he's from fucking, like he's hanging with Prince and shit. He's got the ruffles and the jeans.
Yeah, and, oh, yeah, that's right.
That. Yeah.
And Purple is an ode to fucking... Prince, and then Ice is an ode to, I think, his name that he gave himself, Ice Cube, after his brother, who was 9 years older than him, caught him fucking trying to talk to his girlfriends. So his older brother said, man, I should fucking smash your ass into the freezer. And then Ice Cube was like, yeah, you know what? That's cold. I'm going to be Ice Cube. That's how he came up with the name Ice Cube.
Wow, I never knew that.
And while this is all going on, right? I think we should, you know, Ice Cube, he definitely was a big fan of like Run DMC and the Beastie Boys, as mm-hmm. was almost everybody at that time, right? It wasn't like now where you have this poo-poo platter of hip-hop geniuses to choose from. It was a pretty limited selection. And so you had to find some of the coldest dudes in the game. And I think that at the time, you know, it was like Run DMC, and I think Cube, from what I read, and I've read a couple of different books already on Cube, Heller, NWA, Yella, all those motherfuckers, which Sean's like, we're going to do another show proper.
Right.
And just out of curiosity, because I was going to ask you this a million times already as we've discussed this.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what is the show proper you want to do, analytical one, that's to be perfect?
I think... there's no space here because I think we're getting into dangerous territory when we start playing a lot of music.
Yep.
And that's what I really want to do is play some examples of different types of tracks and whatever and see, you know, where shit went off the hook, where shit is...
Went off the rails.
Yeah.
Okay. So having said all of that, right, we're talking about Cube. And actually, as I've been thinking about our show, The Hard Luck Show, I've been thinking about how we are like... the three wise men, right, who came to see under a star and we saw some fucking magical thing birthed in an right. area that changed the entire world. In this case, the three wise men are three dope motherfuckers, which is O Blue Eyes, Big Lux, and Chumahan, and we've witnessed the birth of something magical on the westward leading. And the idea here now, I realize, is like, fuck, we got to talk about Ice Cube, we got to talk about Eazy-E, we got to talk about Dr. Dre, we got to talk about Too Short. We got to walk through the various prophets of the West to talk and really use what we bring to all those subjects. That's why it even makes sense the South Pacific, because that was part of the World War II that started from the West going westward.
Right.
And, you know, none of this is planned out, but it's starting to make sense that maybe our collective subconscious is bringing these elements together. So, having said that, these are some things that I think we should do a Jerry Heller show.
Yeah, that would be a really interesting one for people.
I don't know shit about Jerry Heller.
Well, I can tell you a couple of things, just as a, like a little, like kind of like a
teaser.
Order, you know, before the man could, you know, a little clean your palate, motherfucker. But the issue is Jerry Heller, not only has written a book and he's done some interviews, it's an interesting intersection between the Jewish and the African American experience.
Yes, it is.
And that X where that crosses pretty much falls on Ice Cube, no?
It does, yeah. The way they melded those two together, it's really interesting. And there's a story, especially in the hip-hop world, that a lot of people don't know about. You know, you have a lot of the artists, which are mainly African-American, but a lot of the people behind the machine of hip-hop from its nexus were Jewish. So it is interesting. And
right.
I think we could do a deep dive into it.
Right. So from that perspective, Ice Cube put out what a lot of people have called an anti-Semitic song aimed at Jerry Heller for what he perceives to be Jerry Heller's manipulation and cheating of all of the black artists that were in NWA and then moved out of there, right? Do I have that right?
Yep.
And I believe that Ice Cube's maybe one of the, and this is an interesting thing to talk about, but Ice Cube's maybe one of the most known people I've ever seen not back down from an accusation of anti-Semitism. Like, listen, I'm looking at you and talking to you because you're Jewish.
Right.
So what are, do you have any thoughts or have you observed anything in that position?
I've never observed anything when I did actually spend time around the guy that made me feel he had Jewish kids working at his record label, Lynch Mob Records. He lived in a very Jewish area of the San Fernando Valley.
Which is?
Tarzana, Encino area. So to see things like that, I've heard the song and I've seen different quotes and things, but no, I actually don't think the guy's anti-Semitic at all.
Right, and I'm not necessarily asking that, but also you have extended Jewish family members, no?
Correct.
Okay, yeah. Do they ever voice to you like, God, how can you hang around Ice Cube's people? It's a shame?
No, not at all. And really because they just didn't know too much about him. The ones that did, it wasn't on their radar really, truthfully.
And so how would it be that you were around Cube's people?
So I was actually around him. So when I was a young kid, I met Ice Cube's brother-in-law, which his older sister, who's referencing songs, Kim, was married to Ice Cube and knew him right around the end of junior high, beginning of high school. And we did go to school together. And
hold on. Yeah. Who's we? When you say we went to school together, who is that?
Adonis. Adonis is his brother-in-law.
So Ice Cube's brother-in-law is named Adonis?
Yeah.
Is he Greek?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
And, okay, and so you went to school with Adonis?
Yeah.
And so Adonis married who?
No, Adonis's older sister married Ice Cube.
So your friend's older sister married Ice Cube?
Yep. It's his wife. Yeah, they're still together. Mm-hmm. Still have kids. In fact, his young son, who's O'Shea Jr., I used to go, when I would go over to that, we went over, there was like a year and a half period where we were going there all the time. And it was right around the time that Friday was being made and finished and then coming out. But we used to go there all the time. I used to play video games with his kid, who's now like a movie star. And
One that was the star in Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah. Yeah.
That O'Shea played Jr. his dad.
Yeah. I used to literally, he was like a little kid, man, and they had every single video game system.
Of course.
And like every single game. So for me, it was like, you know, it was easy and it was fun. It was playing with him. Then to see him grow up, I saw him. He was in a couple of his movies, like as a young kid. Like I think he was in Are We There Yet? And he was also in a couple commercials. And I started seeing him. I'm like, oh, shit. I'm like, that's that little kid. And now he's, you know.
Wait, so how old were you in relation to Ice Cube's son?
So I was in ninth grade. So
wow.
What was that, like 14?
Yeah, like that's that. 14. Yeah,
14. And how old was he?
I mean, dude, he probably was like 5. I'd love to look up and see exactly what year
no,
he was
just
born,
what you
but
remember.
But he must have been, I mean, probably was like a 4-year-old kid, 5-year-old kid.
And so like what? Were you playing like fucking Mario Kart with him?
Like, yeah, Stuart Madden or whatever stuff.
Madden?
Back in the day, yeah.
All right. Listen to the Madden episode. This is a call out. All right, go ahead.
Yeah. No, so it was, it was cool hanging out there all the time, and we used to, him and I would like skip school fucking often, dude. And we'd go, and he'd usually, you know, Ice Cube would be there. And
Wait a second. Yeah. You would skip school with Ice Cube's 5-year-old son?
No. his brother-in-law.
Okay, so now listen. Yeah. People did give me shit on the implosion show because part of my anger, what I expressed, that I was mad that you interrupt. Yeah. And then people are like, motherfucker, you interrupt all fucking day. What are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, well, all right. So the reason why I'm interrupting is because you lose the thread a little bit when you say he.
Right.
So I want to make sure we get it clear. Okay, so Adonis.
Yeah.
You're running around with a guy named Adonis.
Yeah.
Was he like, what was he? Was he hot?
No, but I got to tell you, dude, actually how I met this kid.
Yeah.
Is my friends and I used to go to the Man movie theaters in Tarzana, like on Friday nights, Saturday nights, whatever, like in junior high.
Yeah.
And we were standing out there, and of course it's like all, you know, like upper class or upper middle class. And we were outside in front, and two black kids roll up on bikes and fucking basically they come to jack us for our pagers. And they were me and four other friends. Four of them handed them like quicker. I think they handed them out before they were finished, like saying, like, give them to us.
Right.
And I was the only one who didn't. And we kind of fought. And then we saw each other in the area, and then we talked. Like, he gave me credit for, like, not coming up off the pager right away.
Right.
So, which turned out, and then we started hanging out, man. And
sort of like the implosion show.
Yeah.
Did you give him your pager, though?
No. Oh, okay. No, I did. No, wasn't going to happen.
All right. So, you start hanging out, and he's a black dude named Adonis?
Yeah.
Okay. So, then you start hanging. So, it's... So let me get this right. It's Schwartz and Adonis.
Yeah.
I feel like there's a series in that, right? Just fucking Schwartz and Adonis cruising around terrorizing LA. So then how do you get to Cube's house?
So one day at school, he said that his brother, and he used to call him his brother. And so initially, actually, I thought that was his younger brother, but realized that it wasn't. It was brother through marriage. But he's like, my brother wants me to have a few people over to his place he wants to show us a movie he's working on. And
okay, wait, stop. At this point, do you know it's Ice Cube or not?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I knew.
Man, because listen, even if it was by like adoption or fucking twice removed,
yeah.
If Ice Cube's in the mix, I'm going to be calling him my brother too.
Right.
You never know when you need to ask for a loan. You know what I mean?
Right. Right, absolutely. Go ahead. So I was like, okay, cool, and set it up. And I didn't even know who was going there, but funny enough, when we get there, I realize that it's like five white, like, again, upper class or upper middle class kids coming to see this movie. There's not, it was very clear that he wanted an opinion from a certain demographic.
Hold on. Okay. So you're saying that when you showed up,
yeah,
you saw another like 5 or 10 other white people around your age.
Right.
Right. And the only other brother I know that's done anything like that is Michael Jackson for a completely different reason. But so Cube's bringing you over and to watch a movie? Now, did you know what Friday was?
No, I had no idea. We weren't even told the name. I don't even think we were told the name of it when they had us over.
Okay, so then when you walk, what's the house like?
Nice house in the south of the boulevard, south of Ventura Boulevard in the valley. It's
like what style? Are we talking about like, you know, Greek revival?
No, single floor, nice. It was a gate with kind of like an oval driveway, but the gate was all, it was private. You know, you couldn't see the front of the house really.
Right, and was Eazy-E outside with a gun waiting for a Cube to step out or anything?
Nah.
Okay, very good. So then you go inside, right?
Right.
Is now, the door already open? Is there a white butler? Like, how's
right,
this go?
Right, so I get there, and it feels like, it's kind of weird. My memory is like we all walked in at the same time, but I can't imagine that. But of course, you got to understand, right? Like, what you see on TV or the rap videos or whatever is a certain image. Now, at that age, you know, you kind of believe that rappers are really like that.
Right.
Just like you might have believed in Santa Claus. Like, it's not, you know.
Was there a statue of a malt liquor bottle in the front room?
Right. So, basically, in my head, I'm expecting him to open the door up like...
And it's going
to
be like Crenshaw Boulevard.
Yeah, wearing like Dickies and fucking Ben Davis.
Right.
White Sox hat, all right. that shit, right?
Right, and with a blunt in his mouth.
Correct.
Okay.
And I am greeted at the door by him, and I'll never forget, he had a Mossimo shirt on and just like regular like jeans or some shit. And it totally fucked my mind up. I was like, he's got a Mossimo shirt on. Like, what the fuck? And anyway,
you shake his hand or does he say, come right in?
There's a funny, I'm going to give you a little bit tidbit about that at the end of it, but no, really, because there was a thing like, anyways. So no, I didn't shake his hand. I was very nervous. I might have said, hello, Mr. Ice Cube, when I walked
in. Did you
the
say
door.
That? Hello, Mr. Ice Cube.
I don't know, man. Like, I was totally nervous. Like,
of course. I remember how you came
like,
in the,
fucking...
the first time you came to the Hard Luck Show, and we're nothing like Ice Cube. I remember how shut down you kind of were. You were, like, looking at the ground. And am I wrong?
I don't know.
You
maybe,
were nervous,
man.
Bro. Come on,
oh, yeah,
don't
yeah,
lie.
Yeah, no, I think I said as much, man.
Yeah, you were like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Before then, like, later, you were like, fuck you, Chumahan. Fuck you. All right, go ahead.
No, so we go in and pretty much the theater, he had a theater inside his house, but it was like a theater room. It wasn't like a movie theater with rows of chairs. It was just really kind of like a big bonus room. And all the windows had like these blackout shades and then a projector dropped down and it was like a
wall. Well, hold on. Michael Jackson has the exact same setup, but for a totally different reason.
Yeah,
go
I
ahead.
Didn't drink the Kool-Aid, but
blackout windows and a fucking exactly. projector. But Michael's doing something completely different than Ice Cube. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. So and then he proceeds to put on fucking Friday, which
wait a second before you go to that. How so? Does he offer you guys popcorn and fucking Raisinets?
I think there was all kinds of shit in there. Like
no
all
shit.
Kind of, yeah, for
Did
sure.
Did you like had load a, up your pockets?
For sure, it had it. No. For sure, it had a popcorn, you know, fucking thing that you see in places that, like, a movie theater popcorn thing. But I think he had.
And are you in ninth grade?
Yeah.
So you must have been fucking stoked.
Oh yeah, for
but,
sure.
But were you trying to maintain like, oh, this is no like cool on the outside?
Oh yeah, 100% for sure. After as yeah, I'm getting dropped off there by my grandmother, like you know, walking in, you know, it was pretty funny. But
okay, so you go in there. There's popcorn. There's a movie screen. Yeah. There's fucking juji fruits.
Yeah.
All right.
His family, you know, his family was there, and uh-huh. We went in and he proceeds to put on fucking Friday, man.
Wait a second. Like, when he puts it on, though,
yeah,
is there a projector?
Yeah,
is
yeah, it a projector. It's like a drop down projector from the ceiling.
No shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, so Ice Cube is sitting there with a bunch of kids. It's dark, and he's like, "All right, you little crumb snatchers, I won't put." Did he give you an announcement?
I think he said something like, just kind of said, hey, this is a movie that basically is finished. You know, I want you guys to check it out and let me know what you think about it.
Was he going to give you rating cards to fill out at that?
No, he just wanted to know what we thought about it.
So this was a focus group.
Were you a weed smoker at the time?
Oh, of course. Okay. Yeah.
Were you high for this?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. I want to make sure you're in your right mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. So he goes, all right, guys, watch this shit.
Right.
I mean, it's a movie about weed.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Dude, it's a fucking classic movie.
Yeah,
and
it's
so,
definitely a classic.
And so the fact that I was literally like one of the first eyes to see the finished product on it's always, I mean, it's a trip. Like it's a
right. You might even be able to get laid off of saying that, right? Like, oh yeah, I saw that before there was even music.
Yeah, laid multiple times off that.
Did you?
Oh, laid multiple times off my fucking friendship with him for sure.
Okay, so then you watched the movie, and what did you see that we don't know that we don't see in the finished version?
So first of all, there was no music. There was no like opening music. It just opens up. I remember the first thing that I saw was the shoes on top of the power wires. But there was no music, and there actually the scene with Smokey taking a shit on the side wasn't on that night. I saw in later because, dude, you got to remember for like the next several months we were going over there like every couple days, and every time we went over there we would watch the latest cut of the movie, and he'd always be like hanging out in there, and it used to at that point then it would just be me, my buddy Adonis, Ice Cube, another guy he had this artist coming up called KD. You know, his first album, it's actually pretty good. It's called Ass Cash or Gas. No One Rides for Free.
Right.
And
living kind of lavish.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, we would go over there all the time. I smoked out of the the pipe, the skull pipe that's on the cover of the Predator album. Had a lot of cool experiences with that guy. Went to Dre's house in Calabasas when they were working on the song Natural Born Killer, or for the Natural Born Killer soundtrack.
What was Dre's house like?
Crazy. It was actually in Calabasas, what's now like a huge development, but he had one of the first houses, and there weren't maybe 10, 15 houses.
Were there a bunch of people hanging out outside?
At Dre's house?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Uh-uh.
Why did you ask that?
I heard another story about Dre. I can tell it now, or I can save it for a different time.
Bring it. Now.
So my buddy, he had a product that he was bringing over to Dre. It was like a music product. And he said he pulled up to fucking Dre's house.
Yeah.
And there was just like people hanging out, like lowriders out there, a bunch of fools. Just like, obviously these are the people that didn't get to go inside.
Right.
Right. And they were all like gangsters or whatever. And he was like, oh, fuck. And he's a white guy. Right. And he's like, what am I going to do? He's like, parks his car. And he's like, am I going to walk, man? And he's like all fucking freaked out. But he gets the stuff, and then he starts walking up, and they're all like, oh, what's up, man? What you got there? You know, like giving him shit. And he's like knocking on the door. He's like, hurry up and knock. Hurry up and
yeah,
answer.
Hurry up and answer. Let me in. Yeah.
Hey, wait. So when you, so what's the difference between Dre's house and Cube's house? From what you saw,
Dre's house was bigger and nicer. Cube's house was really nice, but it was definitely a family pad. Like, it was a family pad south of the boulevard, like in the valley. Like, there's a certain type of house. It's hard for me to describe, but it's like a nice family home in a nice area.
How was it decorated, though? I'm really curious. Like,
very white, and there might have been some black lacquer. Around that time, probably some black lacquer furniture, mirrored shit.
What about Dre's house? Was Dre's
any Roman columns?
Yeah, there were some Roman columns.
What about Dre's? I could, before you say anything, this is what I would imagine based on my listening to Dre and limited knowledge, right? But my image of Dre would be that there would be something a little bit like Tron-esque, like dark Tron-esque about what Dre would want, because somehow I imagine him, and I think it's because he had a storage unit that had all of his albums and shit that he sampled from called the Terror Dome. So based on that, I always imagine him in something that is sort of dark, a little spaceshipy, and that is like, you know, would look like maybe a giant studio. But it's all over the thing. Now, tell me what you saw.
I got to be honest with you. They were decorated kind of similarly.
Really?
Yeah. It might have been the time and kind of, you know, culturally maybe, you know.
Sort of what was available at the time?
Not just what was available, but like, you know, I had a few black friends growing up. And I think if I think about it, their houses were kind of decorated similarly.
But like, what elements would be part of that? Because sometimes when I think about it, so I've been into multiple African-American homes. Sometimes I'll see like statues of Black Panthers and shit.
Right.
Or lions. Other times I'll see like, you know, art memorabilia in certain areas. And then other times I'll see like, you know, maybe like just regular shit that you wouldn't associate with any group or anything.
It was kind of modern and still a little 80s-ish because it was just at the beginning of the 90s. So it's still got a little bit of 80s flair, you know, that 80s money flair. But it was really interesting. But we watched the movie and blown away by it. We thought it was the best shit ever. You know, he came
how did he
came in, because he was going in and out during the movie, and he came in when it was over, and we're just all like giddy as shit, like, what the fuck did we just see? Like, you got knocked the fuck, like, dude, classic movie. And we were just blown away, man. Literally didn't know what we had seen. Like, didn't know what we had just seen, how lucky we were, how kind of what that movie would become in the lexicon of our generation, really. And
lexicon.
It was really cool. But so we tell him it's fucking awesome.
Wait.
Okay. Yeah.
So what's his demeanor like? Because the Cube I see on TV for the most part is a little bit of a like an aggressive, hard-shelled dude who's like, so I imagine him coming up and be like, yeah, what the fuck did you, what, yeah, how was he?
Not even, man. He was so fucking normal. I mean, if you will, like, he was super fucking cool, laid back, down to earth, wasn't like.
Did he ask questions? Like, what part did you like? What part didn't you like?
You know, I think he did a little bit, but we were so like fucking, like it was great. It was like he could clearly see like.
We like
he's it. Got some like okay. You know what I mean, like it hit the demographic he's looking to hit and sell the movie to,
right?
It's right in there,
right?
And so anyways, I'm still really nervous, haven't had really like a conversation with the guy, and so we're all getting ready to leave and he opens the door and I don't know if maybe a couple of the kids have been there before or whatever. And all I know is I was like the last one in the row to walk out. And I was kind of like nervous. Like, okay, have a nice night.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's up, man? You're not going to give me a pound goodbye? Like, and, you know, put out his hand like to give me. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah, my bad. It was funny, man. Like, I was just nervous, like starstruck kind of, you know.
You know what I appreciate about what you're saying is that you're admitting to being starstruck.
For sure.
No, because I talk to a million motherfuckers in L.A. and they act like tough motherfuckers. And they're like, I don't give a shit. Who should blah, 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 blah. I'm not starstruck. But
right.
To be honest, dude, if you met Dre or somebody went in, you definitely feel some anxiety about like, oh, man, this is a fucking titan of the culture.
Dude, for sure. And you got to think of what their music did to suburban white kids and kids, our age now. It was we were the pioneers of people even listening to that music,
mm-hmm.
our generation,
mm-hmm.
and so it hit us like a fucking just it was an enigma in itself and kind of just knocked kids off everywhere off their
so you know when sort of Dr. Dre and Ice Cube and DJ Yella and all those dudes, you know, at the time, you kind of had like, and Ice Cube's name, Purple Ice, lets you know this, but at the time, including the World Class Wrecking Crew, right? There was this sort of softer, romantic, erotic electro sound that was in the African community. Here we go. What
some
is this?
Of that.
This is Stereo Crew.
Which is Ice Cube's old crew, right?
Right, before CIA.
Right.
But you can hear that, like...
It's like Africa Bambaataa shit.
Right.
Oh, shit.
You hear that?
Yeah.
And you know, that's it's crazy because there is a lot of rap from L.A.
Uh-huh.
that is in this vein during that time.
Sounds a little like Kraftworks.
Yeah,
well, dude, Kraftworks was one of the original groups that came through
influenced
that
African Bambaataa.
Yeah, African Bambaataa, exactly.
The fathers of hip hop or
one
early,
of them,
early
right?
Hip-hop, one
all
of
right,
them.
Check this one out. So compare that to this.
Records.
This is Dre's biggest hit, "Surgery," from World Class Wrecking Crew.
Records. Mixer.
I feel like this is what goes on inside of Sean.
That was what went inside
push
of,
it.
That was like what went inside
push
of 9-year-old little Sean. Like
push it. Now this is what's still going on in his mind. This is his actual personality. Records. Mixer. Records.
And then we have this. This track?
I do. Now here, go ahead. What are you gonna say?
I was just gonna note that like Arabian Prince was in an NWA and his tie to like Egyptian Lover. And
there's a lot of people, including Arabian Prince, that say he's not properly credited with the first album from NWA is coming up with a lot of the sound. And part of the reason why he bounced out of the group and didn't want to deal with anything is, as he says, because of Heller. And he said that they knew that they were selling records and the money wasn't coming through. And so a lot of people who know a lot about Arabian Prince and what Egyptian Lover,
mm-hmm.
his name. So you can see the romantic soft side still there, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I mean, even if you look at World Class Wrecking Crew and what they were doing.
Right.
And there is like a real romantic element to it.
And you, I
ladies,
think you credit that all to Prince, bro. I would say you credit that all to Prince in the Purple Rain look.
Man, Prince was the man.
Right.
The man.
What about this? Push it.
Why is it like guys having an orgasm like on...
Because they're trying to tell the girl like, look, man, when I fuck you, it's going to be like this. I'm going to have... I'm going to be breathing real heavy. I'm going to be like put my effort into it. It's going to sound like I'm lifting weights.
Sweat.
Yeah, sweat.
Sweat.
But then I'm going to be robotic.
But what happened to that sound, man? I actually like that sound, that electro sound, man.
Yeah, I'm here.
What happened?
I don't know.
I just want to hear that.
Away, right?
I don't know why it faded away. I feel like there should be a subculture of that.
Definitely.
Just bringing it back because it's such a good
sound.
I love those repetitive beats.
I like the fucking robot voice.
Me too.
And I'm like, why isn't there more robot shit? That shit sounds dope. I'm like,
it sounds super fresh.
I fucking love that. But then other people are like, I don't need all that. But
what else sounds fresh is...
Is that it?
That's it. Bro.
Okay. All
right, we're going to save some Ice Cube stuff because I got...
No, we got tons more.
We got a whole show.
Oh, bro.
Whole show. Maybe even a couple shows.
First of all, right, friends of the show Cypress Hill.
Yes.
There was major beef, and I've got the full-on discussion from Be Real about it, and I got to admit, as much as I respect Cube, it does not paint him in a very good light, even though the beef is squashed.
Correct.
Steve's going to have a lot to say about that. Yeah. I've also got, and Sean's got, how did Dre and Cube actually meet up? Who was the connection, right? How did that happen? I've also got some actual interviews from Yella to talk about what his actual contribution and completely glossed over career with NWA is. Also, I don't know if you can talk about Ice Cube without talking about Eazy-E.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're probably going to have to do an Eazy-E show.
I'm surprised there hasn't been one already.
Right. Give us the subject titles of what you still got for the crew.
So we will discuss going to the L.A. Lowrider Car Show. Drove with him.
With Cube.
With Cube down
in a
there.
Car.
Yeah, was to big, the L.A. Coliseum.
Was Big Perm there?
No, he wasn't there. But got to sit on the stage at the L.A. Lowrider Car Show back in the day and meet some interesting artists in the Raiders at that time, Raiders locker room, and subsequent trip to ate salt fish and chips.
Right, you ate fish and chips with Ice Cube.
Yeah, went to some Pop Warner games with him, and I did raid his fridge for his, at the time, he was sponsored by St. Ide, so all those tall canned juice drinks.
Yeah, the ones that had like
non-alcoholic
fruit flavors.
Yeah, like the Arizona drinks. Those were brand new then
so
too.
Good.
And
how big is Ice Cube's fucking refrigerator?
He had multiple.
Multiple fridges.
Yeah, he had all. Dude, he was like a kid. You know what I mean? Like he had everything. He had a studio in the back. Like it was
with
you
a
know,
wall
he
full
had
of
all
plaques.
The toys. Yeah.
And did he say fuck rap? You could have it back, or is that only Dre?
Nah, man. I still. You know, it's funny. I mean, I can literally see inside the entire house all his different cars and shit.
How many cars?
He had three, actually. What? Acura NSX. Which is at that time was pretty crazy. He had an Eddie Bauer package Ford Explorer, and then he had a BMW wagon.
Probably already taken LSD. That motherfucking OG, there he goes again.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.